What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is the Grand Hotel. We had a great time Friday. If you were with us, man, did we have a good time. It was our best show yet. Biggest crowd we've ever had by far. And we just keep having more fun. The shows get better and better. And I feed off the energy of the crowd, and it's always great. So mark your calendar, okay? It is Friday, October 11th, not Friday the 13th. So it's Friday, not the 13th. Friday, October 11th for our next live show, all right? I want you to join us for that. It's going to be great. And from now until a long time from now, you have your own special promo code to use at the Grand Hotel, promo code Zioli, to save 25% off midweek stays. 25%. Boom. That's right. Just go to GrandHotelKateMay.com, GrandHotelKateMay.com, and I'll see you there in person Friday, October 11th. Let's check in with David Urban. He knows Pennsylvania better than anybody. He, of course, is a senior advisor to President Donald Trump, CNN contributor. And what's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good.
Anything going on in Philly today?
Nah, it's a boring day. Very, very boring. There's inflatable IUDs outside our station, though. That's kind of fun.
What's going on?
I don't know. Some wacko liberals put up an inflatable IUD, like the birth control device.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so yeah. People are taking pictures with it. I'm not.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Hey, that's exactly what you're going to get in the Kamala Harris administration. You know, it's crazy that Tim Walz says that the Republicans are weird. For God's sakes, people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know? Right. Republicans are weird. Hey, I heard you got into a little issue with a reporter last week who took you out of context with your comments.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know who this person was. I don't remember speaking to them. And you know, I had to kind of, I don't want to say tweet back, but I tweeted back at the guy because I don't even know. I never remember speaking to the person, and never once for one second, Rich, listen, during this race, during this 2024 race, did I have any doubt about Donald Trump's ability to win, not only the state of Pennsylvania, but win the presidency, right? Do I think it's going to be a cakewalk? No, but do I think he's going to win? Absolutely, because Biden-Harris administration has had failed policy after policy after policy, right? We had the Gold Star families being honored today. Tomorrow's 9/11. Lots of sacrifice and time to reflect. And so when I saw this post, somebody sent me this and said, hey, did you say this? Now listen, I might have said something along those lines, but I never said any of the things that he kind of intimated that I'm concerned about the Trump campaign or that I was angry or upset. Not reality. And Rich, listen, I talk to you. I talk to lots of people on a daily basis, reporters, I'm on TV a bunch. So if people, you know, you can compare that one article against my entire other body of work.
Well, I was going to say, you were on my show literally the day before saying that Trump was going to win, and you're very confident. Yeah. We shouldn't take it for granted, but you believe that the momentum was on our side. So I saw the article, and I thought it was a fugazi, as my people say, David Urban, fake.
I did a talk up in Erie, Pennsylvania, Gannon College, the Jefferson Educational Forum up there. It's a great, I love Erie. A lot of good family memories as a kid up there, and did this event a long time ago, and maybe the guy was there and talked to me then. I don't recall doing an interview where I said any of those type things. Now, so I mean, it is what it is. You know, you're in this game, and so people are going to want to try to paint things the way they want to paint them. But you know, I'll tell everybody again, I think that Donald Trump in this election cycle is you know, doing incredibly well, hitting all the things he needs to hit, and we'll see tonight. I like to tell people, and this isn't the first debate. This is his second debate against the Biden-Harris administration, right? So the first one he had Biden, now he has Harris. So the first one went pretty well. Hopefully this one's going to go equally as well.
You know, I keep trying to, David, I keep trying to think what is going to be her strategy tonight. Because as we do, you know, we try to give advice to our guys, and we always have to put ourselves in the shoes of the opponent. Otherwise, we're not very effective at being political consultants and operatives. So I'm trying to put myself into the shoes of the guy playing Trump in the debate prep for Harris. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. I guess they're going to go after him and try to make him sound mean. I guess they're going to keep bringing up abortion. But what else do they have, really?
I mean, Rich, that's it. That's their whole case. I'm here in New York for CNN. Going to go on TV here in a little bit. And the ads they're running, I'm sure they're probably running the same ones in Philly, but it's all abortion. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with that. Here's our vision to help you pay your bills. Here's our plan to stop, you know, runaway inflation. Here's our plan to, you know, get more jobs back. You know, remember, Rich, the administration, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they adjusted downward the jobs numbers by like a million plus jobs this past when I was at the Democratic convention, right? So the things that they have to talk about aren't great. So what is Kamala Harris going to say? The Biden administration that I was a part of sucked, and I want to be separate from it. You know, this New York Times Santa poll that was just out that everybody's talking about, interestingly, says that 61% of respondents to that poll want a dramatic change in the Biden administration, right? So if you're a part of the Biden administration, right, then the sub question is who represents that change better? 54% of respondents said Donald Trump, 23% said Kamala Harris. So if this is a change election, people want change, they want things to be different, right? So she's got to somehow say, like, I was there for whatever good parts she may think of from the administration, right? But I wasn't there for the bad things, right? So I don't know how she's going to circle that square. She needs to kind of obviously separate, you know, herself from Biden and stand on her own. But listen, Rich, you know, I just want to hear from her on, you know, this latest greatest K-file thing on CNN, which I loved. Andrew Kaczynski does a thing with Aaron Burnett where she talks about the ACLU questionnaire that Kamala Harris spelled out, right? I mean, listen, I want to hear
Aaron Burnett's
talk
face
about,
during, like, that was just something to watch. It really was.
Right, it's great. Listen, and kudos for CNN for putting it on, right? I mean, I want to hear her talk about that. Like, explain to us why you said in handwritten notes. I mean, he explains. It wasn't just she checked the box in her handwriting. It says, we will pay for, you know, gender reassignment surgery for prisoners as well as illegal immigrants. Do you still stand by that? Do you still stand by your position that you want to use taxpayer dollars to fund reparations? Do you still stand by your position that guns in America, certain guns, should be taken away, physically taken away? There'll be a knock at your door and the government will come take away your gun. Do you still stand by that? Do you still stand by you don't need private health care? Do you still stand? I'd like to hear or have to explain all these things, not some faceless press person, not some nameless press person, right? Kamala Harris, let her explain it without notes. I let the American people hear. This is a job interview for the biggest job in the world, to run the best and most powerful country, the best and most powerful country in the world. It's her job interview. If she can't answer the questions as why is she best at, you know, to have the job, then she shouldn't have the job, right? And so instead of talking about those things, Rich, she's going to talk about abortion and IUDs, right? And how Republicans are going to take away IDF. All the things, by the way, which are total BS, because Donald Trump has said, I'm not going to sign a national abortion ban. We're actually, the government's going to pay for IVF in my administration, right? So all these things that she is putting out of these boogeymen, Trump's already swatted down. So hopefully he'll swat them down again. She'll raise it and he'll say, nope, that's not true. Swat it down and move on. And we'll see what she's left with. I'm not quite sure. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, Rich, you know, hopefully, right, Donald Trump will kind of stay the course, like he did in the first debate, and, you know, keep calm, and we'll see. You'll watch all these Democrats' heads explode at, you know, 10 o'clock tonight.
David Urban's with me, senior advisor to President Donald Trump. What now, and as far as the idea that this...
Volunteer senior advisor, just make sure. Everybody, I'm a volunteer, not getting paid.
We're all just volunteers these days. So, I mean, as far as this one debate, I mean, you know, this is it. So If you're the Harris team, do you want more? Do you wait to see how this goes? Do you wait to see if you got clobbered? I mean, what's the strategy here? She's down in the
don't
polls.
You think, like, so you know, originally, Rich, right? So she was doing pretty well on the, like, hiding from the press, right? Not doing anything. She's like this empty
vessel. It's not working for her.
Everyone can put their hopes and fears in. Now people, the Siena poll again said like 30-some percent of people want to know more about her, right? Well, guess what? They're going to find out more. They may not like her, right? So it is fraught with peril. And again, the strategy of not talking to the press, right? Of giving an interview every time the locusts come out, right? Is bad because, you know, that everything she's going to talk about now is judged so dramatically, right? So if she would have given 100 interviews, she'd be out there every day doing battle, then it would be, she'd be able to clean things up easier. She'd be able to talk about things more freely and openly. Now it's every time she opens her mouth, people, it's like waiting for a puff of smoke from the Vatican, right? It's a big deal. And so I think it's a bad decision on their part, right? By the way, Rich, I was just talking to one of my Catholic friends. I'm talking about the puff of smoke from the Vatican. I don't know if you saw that President Trump this past week, the Blessed Mother's kind of birthday celebrated, right? And so Trump said, like, you know, happy birthday, Mary. And Democrats went bananas about it, right? They were offended. They said Trump was wrong, right? I mean, there's so many fact-checking that Trump is correct, right, including my parish priest and others. But, you know, how far gone are the Democratic Party? That's what they're doing. They're banging on the guy for wishing the Blessed Mother a happy birthday. It's like insane.
Why can't you wish the Blessed Mother a happy birthday? Isn't it always nice to wish everybody a happy birthday?
Joe Biden, if you're Joe Biden, the Catholic president, right, who is on Easter, right, on last Easter declared a Trans Awareness Day and goes to abortion rallies and, you know, does the sign of the cross. It's just like, you know, I guess they don't like, I don't know, they get upset about, Donald Trump recognizing the Catholic faith. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, this party, the Democratic Party, is not the Democratic Party that my dad used to be a member of way back in the day, right?
David Urban, on that point, wasn't it interesting in the New York Times Siena College poll when they said that they view Trump as the more centrist candidate?
Yes, incredible, right? Right, that's another big takeaway from it, right, Rich? Because Kamala Harris is crazy progressive, right? She's not, you know, listen, we've had a lot of good Democratic governors in the state of Pennsylvania over the years, right? Bob Casey's father was a great guy, right? I really had a lot of respect for him, right? Knew him fairly well from working with Arlen Specter. Had a lot of respect for him. Look, our friend Ed Rendell, really liked the guy a lot, mm-hmm. right? I mean, may not agree with everything he stands for, right? But, you know, there's a guy that saved the city of Philadelphia and did a lot of great things for the city, the region, and the state, right? And, you know, Ed Rendell, if he's being honest, it's not his party anymore, right?
No.
It's not Bob Brady.
Nope.
Bob Brady, another guy, right? Another great guy from the city of Philadelphia, right? It's not Bob Brady's party anymore, right? You think Vince Fumo, those guys, you know, you think they recognize this Democratic Party? No way.
Well, I mean, Ed Rendell came out and was actively campaigning against Larry Krasner, the Philadelphia District Attorney, who, by the way, Trump called out Krasner the other night. I was so glad he did. I was so happy to hear him call out Larry Krasner by name. But that's the Democrat Party of today. Larry Krasner is a great embodiment of the Democrat Party of today.
Yeah, Rich, you're right. Listen, they are socialist Democrats, right? That's a big part of it, right? Socialist Democratic Party, like Summer Lee in Pittsburgh, right? They're not blue dog Democrats. They don't represent working class people. They don't care. They don't have working class values. They're willing to get stuff away for free for everybody. Open the border. Listen, John Fetterman is a guy now I'd probably vote for, right, in the state of Pennsylvania. John Fetterman sounds more like a Republican than a Democrat to be on 9 out of 10 issues. You know, he observes correctly that the border is hemorrhaging and that the city of Pittsburgh comes across the border every day. Right. I mean, that's crazy. Right.
Yeah, and he says that he gets blasted for it by people like Will Bunch writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Oh, you've changed, Fetterman. You've changed.
No, John Fetterman just represents the people that he represents, the blue collar workers in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania whose family are immigrants. They came here legally, right? Everyone's an immigrant, right? Everyone came here. Everyone's family got here from someplace. And we love immigrants in our nation. We love them because I'm an immigrant. Everybody's family came from somebody. That I on the end of your name, that's not, you know, you're not Native American, Violi, right? You know? And so we love immigrants. We love immigration. Our country got great on immigration, but we can't have people just walking across the border, especially now. A lot of bad people want to do bad things in our country, can simply walk across the border and do bad things in our country, right? When, you know, God forbid there's another bad event like 9/11 happens in our country and it's found that it came across the southern border, I mean, heads should roll, right? I mean, these politicians know this is happening. Joe Biden could have had the Remain in Mexico policy, had done the things, could have never changed the Trump administration's policies, and we had stemmed that huge flow. And instead, he comes and he flips the switch, and it's worse than ever. You know, Eric Adams, mayor of Philadelphia, I mean, he's the mayor of New York here, is complaining about how bad it is. It's killing the cities. Unbelievable. It's really, yeah. Really quite incredible, Rich.
Yeah, I think the illegal immigration issue matters, David Urban. I don't know how you feel about it. I think you agree. I hear other people say it's not a big issue. You know, it's a distraction. I disagree. I think people have had it. They're fed up. And it's so emblematic of the chaos of this administration. Oh, and also, too, I mean, a gift today to Trump, but the report on the Afghanistan withdrawal, this disaster that it was, he should mention that tonight. You know, he should. I think Americans really don't like when we look foolish around the world.
No, it's the lowest point. It's the lowest point in U.S. foreign policy in a generation. There was a national security analyst today on CNN. I wish I'd caught his name. He gave the most cogent analysis, not a partisan. He's just, you know, CNN national security advisor. Was on Jim Acosta's show this morning, probably about 11:30 noon, maybe 11 o'clock-ish. And he gave the most cogent analysis of what took place and the debacle and the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and said the second Biden announced it, he knew it was going to be terrible. And he went through, you know, line by line and explained like why it was so bad. And look, everybody saw it with their own eyes, right? Everybody witnessed it. Everybody witnessed what happened. And Kamala Harris, who is the sitting vice president of the United States, proudly declared that she was the last person in the room with Joe Biden who's making that decision, right? Do we really want that person who was there in the worst foreign policy decision of the past in a generation, right? Do we want that person, you know, running the show? I mean, I think not. I mean, I really do think not. It's really crazy. You know, interestingly, Rich, I hear that the vice president is going to be now kind of taking up the David Urban playbook and going to some smaller counties in Western Pennsylvania and trying to gin up some votes. Although I hear she's going to Cambria County, going to go to Johnstown. She's going to go to the 9/11 Memorial tomorrow and, you know, try to kind of shake some votes. But I do not believe that she's going to kind of do any like organic things. I think you're all going to be canned where she walks in someplace. You know, Rich, let me just hit this one real quickly, too, is, you know, of all the places to go, this is more of a Pittsburgh thing than a Philly thing. But in the city of Pittsburgh, when she left the hotel, the first time she left, she went to go do like a, you know, a local eatery, a local establishment, right, in the city of Pittsburgh. Now, You guys may remember Pittsburgh is the home of like Mr. Rogers. It's Mr. Rogers neighborhood. It's everybody's nice. It's a beautiful place. My hometown, a little biased, right? But there's no real place you can go that's controversial in the city of Pittsburgh, with the exception of one place, Penzi's Spices, right? And why is Penzi's controversial? Because the owner of Penzi's is a complete whack job. He's had Republicans or white supremacist days or racist days, right? He sends out ads to his customers. He has posts where he says, you know, if your Jewish friends are feeling uncomfortable or nervous, just show them a couple of sleeping bags in your attic and tell them they always have a place with you. I mean, anti-Semitic statements.
And that's where she went?
And that's where she went. She went to Penzi Spices, Rich, of all the places. And then she has the gall, right? When she's in there, she says, we need to really dial back the vitriol. We need to dial things back. We need to come together as a nation. Now, either she's got the dumbest staff in the world, right, who don't know how to Google a place, Rich, or it was purposeful, and it was kind of a wink and a nod to the progressive sickos who would take those kind of positions about, you know, people of the Jewish faith or people who are Republicans or everyone's a racist. You know, that's where she went. I mean, there's not an analogous place to go in the city of Philadelphia. But can you imagine that you send your candidate there? And Rich, by the way, nobody really got up in arms about it except a couple people, like Salita Zito, myself, a couple other kind of Pittsburghers. But, you know, the local guys picked it up. But you didn't see it on CNN. It was on CNN last night because I talked about it. But wasn't AP, wasn't mentioned in the story. None of the major news places, you know, said, hey, listen, this is where she went. What a terrible choice. You know, she could have gone to the Tree of Life Synagogue, right? Where there was the largest mass murder of Jews in America occurred, right? Nope, she didn't go there. Wonder why she didn't go there. She went to a place where, you know, the guy spewed anti-Semitism and hate for Republicans. I mean, it's really crazy stuff.
I got to ask you before I let you go, because I know you're a data guy like I am. You saw Nate Silver and what he said, which is that the biggest mistake the Harris campaign made, and probably it's the death knell for them, was not picking Josh Shapiro to be her running mate.
Yeah, well, listen, Josh Shapiro should have probably been the nominee, not her running mate, right?
Yeah.
If you're being honest about it, right, why would Josh Shapiro be Kamala Harris's running mate? Kamala Harris should have been Josh Shapiro's running mate.
It would have been a much different game if it was Josh Shapiro on that stage tonight. Thank God they didn't go down that road. I mean, thank God.
Fortunately, the Democratic Party is not, you know, run by you or I, because you would have Josh Shapiro up there. He'd be doing extremely well in Pennsylvania. Be off to take, you know, Alyssa Farah Griffin, who is CNN contributor, sits next to me, will be there tonight. She does The View as well, right? And I know all your listeners watch The View, so they probably are familiar with it.
Religiously. You know, we have all the DVD sets.
Yeah, exactly. They got the box sets. But he was on with her, and she said, man, he's really good. The crowd was loving him, and she said, she kind of said the same thing. Like, if he was the nominee, he would be tearing it up, right? He was very good with the crowd. And look, he gets it. He's a sports guy. He's a Philly guy. You know, he's a normal guy. He's not weird like Tim Walz, who looks like looks like a college mascot, right? With that wave in the hands and, you know, kind of, you could see him dressed up in like the Penn State Nittany Lion or something running around the sideline.
He'd be the assistant college mascot. Let's just be clear. Yeah.
Like Walz got to stop drinking the Red Bulls, man. He's like a little too excitable.
I'll let you go, buddy, but thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Tune in to watch David's analysis on CNN, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Follow him on Twitter at David J. Urban. He's always got great stuff. We'll talk again soon, my friend. I appreciate it.
Let's hope that our guy wins tonight, that pulls out a big W there, and that we're talking about all the positive things tomorrow, and that Kamala Harris shows her two colors tonight.
Well said, buddy. Well said. Thanks David. David Urban, everybody.
Okay.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rick Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Actually, don't you have a clip, DeSantis, on the show sheet of Tim Walz and doing a bro hug with Doug Emhoff or some nonsense?
I have Doug Emhoff talking about the bro hug he did with Walz.
Doug Emhoff, the beta male, B-Modus, beta male of the United States of America, talking about the bro hug he did with Tim Tampon Weirdo Walz.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. This is from the Pod Save America podcast.
Okay.
We get up there, and we just do this big bro bear hug. And I cannot tell you how many texts I got from my actual friends and actual family members like, you never hugged me like that. What's going on? You literally just met this guy.
Did you hit him on the back?
Walz pills.
Did you hit him on the back to preserve your heteronormativity? Did you give him the back pat?
No, if you see the video, we just did this full on. And I think, you know, he was like this, I was like this, and then it was just this bro hug. And I heard from a lot of actual friends.
Wow, that's weird. I'm sorry, but it's just like most guys, we do a bro hug, we don't talk about it. You don't talk about the bro hug. It's like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. You know what I mean?
Evidently, he reserves his best hugs for Tim Walz and the nanny.
Well played, DeSantis.
Thank you.
Well played. I got caught off guard there. I wasn't expecting that from you. Well done. Finally, the rum and ganja are leaving your system. You're coming back to us. It's good. It's taken a few days.
I didn't smoke anything while I was in Jamaica. I didn't even really drink any rum while I was in Jamaica.
Did you have your Coca-Cola while you were there?
Of course I had Coca-Cola while I was there.
You know, Justin DeSantis is a big Coca-Cola guy. Like, we'll go out to a nice dinner, and everybody will be drinking nice wine. Coca-Cola, no matter what it is. Could be a nice steak, ribeye steak at the Capitol Grill. He gets a Coca-Cola.
I mean, at least it's not milk with everything.
Oh, God. Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Well, that's true. That would be disgusting. But I'm going to talk about cookies. You like cookies, DeSantis, right? Do you dip those in Coca-Cola or you dip those in milk?
I'm not dipping them in milk either. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
Just eat your cookie. You don't have to dip it in something.
Just eat your cookie. Just suck it up.
I agree.
Penzi Spices was the name of the place. I got asked on Twitter. I do monitor Twitter. I try to monitor Twitter. It's not always easy. But Tara wanted to say thank you. Tara said, let me find the tweet here. We do our best here on the show. But the thing about Afternoon Drive, in this day and age, I don't know. I don't remember it being like this the first time around. But this time around, anyway, we're constantly getting inundated with breaking news and clips and stories and everything else. So we do our best to keep up. But Tara Mooney on Twitter, Mooney, Rich, I know you're too busy to check X, but thanks for making my day. X is annihilating Eric Swalwell right now. LOL, couldn't happen to a better person. Happy to do it, Tara. Happy to help. See, DeSantis, everybody hates him. That's the thing. America is united on their hatred for Eric Swalwell.
Well, he's still my favorite congressman.
You only like him because you have the intellectual humor of a six-year-old.
It's my favorite clip.
And that's it. Isn't it gross, Justin? I mean, isn't it beneath the dignity of this program, this highly regarded award-winning radio show?
I just don't know how he can possibly live with himself ruining such a syndicated award-winning program with such juvenile humor.
Can I play again?
No, and we're not syndicated, just for the record. We should be, but we're not. They won't syndicate us. They don't want to see this greatness.
I'm just thinking into the future.
No, it's good. I like it. You're a forward-thinking man, and we appreciate that, Justin. It's good. Unlike DeSantis, who's stuck in sixth grade.
Excuse me for liking the Swalwell clip. I think the audience appreciates it as well.
My idiot friends keep asking me if I'm going to their stupid debate watch party. No, I got dad duty tonight. My wife's out of town at a business thing, so I got dad duty. I'm on dad duty. I'm watching the debate with my kids tonight. That'll be a great education for them. Hey, kids, sit down and watch a debate with daddy. They're going to love that. Damn right we're watching it together as a family.
I don't think they're going to appreciate it.
You don't think so?
No, they're too young. They're going to be bored.
Yeah, probably right. And it's past their bedtime anyway. But I guess daddy's watching it by himself with a bourbon and a cigar. Oh, well.
Plus, you can't really watch it at a party because you have to concentrate on it so you can react to it tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm not going to. The only time I would go to a debate watch party is if we hosted one, which we're not doing this year. We should, but we're not. So, you know. So I have to actually watch it. I really do have to watch it. I can't hear chit-chatter in the background. You know what I mean? Chit-chat. My dumb friends with their dumb comments.
Plus, you don't want to go to a debate watch party. And I assume there's going to be some people that support Kamala, some that support Donald Trump. That seems like a recipe for disaster if you're trying to actually fixate on the program and listen to what's happening.
Well, that's true. My friends luckily only support Donald Trump.
Okay.
But my one buddy's psycho girlfriend's probably all back Kamala because he only dates crazy women. All right. We got a lot more to come. We're just getting warmed up. It's debate night in America. Glad you're here. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The cookie tells us everything we need to know. Embrace the cookie. Who's winning in the locals bakery for every? They do this every election. They sell cookies. You buy them based on your support for Trump or Harris or whoever the candidates are. Who's winning in the cookie contest? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Well, it turns out that in the cookie competition, President Trump is crushing Kamala Harris's cookies by a huge, huge margin. So people go in there and they buy their cookies for their support. Their bakery in Monco, and this has been a long-time tradition. Family bakery, and delicious food, by the way. The food's outstanding there. And you go in and you buy your cookie based on your support of a particular candidate. So CBS3 went there, and they always do this. They figure out who's winning the cookie competition. This is as local as it gets. Look, we are living the local national extravaganza right now. Everything is happening in our backyard. Everything is happening in Pennsylvania. It's all about PA. And so this matters. I've never been polled before, but I've bought cookies before. So you may never encounter a pollster, but you can show your support by buying a cookie, and it matters.
You've sold thousands already, and I know you've baked thousands in preparation for tonight. Yes. Everyone wants to know, what do the sales maybe tell us about who might win the election in November? Well, talk to me about sales.
The sales, the red is leading by a lot.
By a lot.
By a lot.
You've got the tally board over
the
here.
The tally was just updated. You're new to see it, but almost by 4,000 cookies, as you can see. And that's tremendous. Tremendous for us as a small business to produce this and sell this as well and see the faces that are coming around to buy these from all over.
Absolutely. And just to stress this, that is not a typo. Former President Trump with more than 4,000 cookies sold. Current Vice President Kamala Harris with only about 400. So the Harris voters got some work to do if they want to boost their numbers here. But again, we want to stress, we've been saying this all morning, you guys are not politically driven. I know you take a lot of flack online, especially. Talk to me about your motivation here. You're just trying to do business.
I'm a small business, and prices are really high right now. Like we're seeing increases daily on eggs and butter. And so these help get people in the door.
This helps get people in the door. But you see what she's talking about there, the increases on everyday things, eggs and butter, they're a small business. You're feeling that too. I think it's a reason why the Trump cookie is winning. Embrace the cookie, Elaine. Embrace the cookie. No, I do. I think it matters in a big, big way. And, you know, one of the idiotic things that Kamala Harris wants to do is tax unrealized capital gains. Did you know that? Tax unrealized capital gains. That's one of her ideas. It's a stupid idea. It would destroy the stock market. It would destroy your 401k. You would ultimately pay for it in your 401k. I read this very intellectual, heady piece in the Wall Street Journal about this morning and how the destruction it would cause to the stock market and to your 401k, because most pensions are stocks, and let's be honest, and it would destroy that. Senator Rand Paul was on CNBC talking about this earlier today.
You know, I'm supportive of Donald Trump. I think there's no question that Donald Trump is better than Kamala Harris on this. And, you know, one is basically an argument for socialism. I think the idea of taxing unrealized gains is not only moronic, it's so destructive that it should be disqualified. She should be disqualified from any thoughtful person considering her, the fact that they would consider taxing unrealized gains. Are we going to tax my house? How am I going to pay taxes since my house is worth twice as much as it used to be worth? Where am I going to cover the money?
Exactly. And what would happen is they would have to start selling off stocks to pay for it. That's the bottom line. And it would cause massive disruptions in the market. It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. No doubt about it. Now, Nate Silver is a very smart guy. So he's an election guru. In fact, I'm reading his new book, which is all about people that take risks and gamblers and everything like that. He started the polling firm or the data analytics firm 538. It's since been bought by ABC News, and he's out. He's now predicting Trump is going to crush it in the Electoral College by over 60% chance of winning the Electoral College. And there's a piece in the New York Post about this today, how Kamala Harris missed a big opportunity with one campaign decision, and it could cost her the election. So Nate Silver said over the weekend that Vice President Kamala Harris passed up a big opportunity with her choice of a running mate. The 538 founder wrote in his Silver Bulletin newsletter Sunday that the 59-year-old blew one big opportunity to tack to the center with her selection of Tim Walz rather than Josh Shapiro. He was responding to that New York Times Siena College poll, which showed nearly 47% of likely voters considered Harris too liberal, a reflection of her 2020 campaign when she talked about things like transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants. She has staked out her several far-left positions. Harris is a more talented politician than she showed in 2019, and it's a shame that her campaign that year was run by people who seemingly thought Elizabeth Warren was a right-winger, he said. I think Walz was a decent enough pick on his own merits, but given an opportunity to offer a tangible signal of the direction her presidency was headed, Harris reverted to the 2019 COVID-19 mode. Harris went liberal with Waltz. Now, look, I'm not saying Josh Shapiro is the most conservative guy. I think the moderate thing is a big part of a fugazi, but his perception is certainly much more of a moderate. And I, for one, I said this too. I said, thank God that she did not pick Josh Shapiro. I said that the day she made the pick on Fox News. It would have been a much tougher fight because whoever wins Pennsylvania wins. And the fact that her campaign didn't pick him is so stupid. But they're so worried about upsetting the Jew haters in the Democrat Party that they passed on Shapiro for one reason. That's because he's Jewish. That's it. Otherwise, if he was Catholic, he'd be on the ticket right now. And we would be having a much different conversation about Pennsylvania. Much different conversation. The potential selection of Shapiro triggered backlash from far-left Democrats due to his support for Israel. Many critics said the criticism of the Jewish of Shapiro was rooted in anti-Semitism. And Silver said on Sunday that the fact that a tiny minority of progressives objected to Shapiro was an argument in his favor. And she should have picked him. In addition to the left-wing attack, Senator John Fetterperson reportedly advised Harris's campaign against tapping Shapiro. Oh, well, you know, Fetterman comes out and says, you know, voters don't want to be distracted by pesky little things like policies. Did you know that? They don't want, like, little things, you know, like policies, those sort of things. Don't worry about things like this. So she's listening to John Fetterperson, and because they listened to Fetterperson, they decided that they were not going to turn around and pick him. Pick Josh Shapiro. So that's what happened here. Take a listen to what Fetterperson said.
It's about the choice. It's not about the money, or it's about policies or those kinds of obscure things. It's about the choice and what kind of a direction do we want our nation to go in. And after all those things.
Say one more time. Those obscure things like policies. I got to hear that one more time with my good ear.
It's about the choice. It's not about the money, or it's about policies or those kinds of obscure things. It's about the choice and what kind of a direction do we want our nation to go in. And after all those things.
Okay. It's about that. All those things. Not about pesky things like policies. Got it? Not about pesky things like policies. So don't worry about it. Now, Silver points out that prior to Harris's announcement, remember Mayor Sherelle Parker put that video out suggesting the governor was the running mate? That was on a Friday, and I remember I was getting asked about that, and I said, I think she's just advocating for him. It would have helped. It certainly would have helped, no doubt about that. As of Tuesday, Nate Silver's model gives former President Trump a 65% chance of winning Pennsylvania and a 64.4 chance of winning the election. That is a new high for the Republican nominee since Biden ended his bid for re-election July 21st. Look, I'm sorry, but there's no way Kamala Harris wins this debate tonight because she would have to kill Trump. She'd have to kill him. Anything short of killing him, she doesn't win. And she doesn't win. She doesn't win the election. She doesn't become president. Bottom line, she messed up bad here with this pick of Waltz. It was a terrible, 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 terrible no good, very bad pick. Bottom line. Debates are often judged relative to expectations as much as by the candidate's actual execution. And if the race is perceived as a toss-up for Harris or even leaning Trump, her performance might be viewed in a more favorable light, he wrote. And Harris will perhaps be more likely to avoid the counterproductive tendency toward risk aversion that she showed with the Waltz pick. She should campaign like she's 2 points behind, because if the Times poll is right, she is. You know, I wouldn't put it past them to dump Waltz and pick up Shapiro at this point. Would you? Would you, I mean, do you put anything past these people? They swapped out Biden. I mean, they killed Biden. Think about it. They got rid of Joe Biden. They got rid of Joe Biden. They did a coup against Biden. Kamala Harris has not had a single primary voter vote for her. They got rid of Joe Biden. Do you think they would really hesitate to get rid of Tim Waltz if they had to? No, don't be silly. No chance. They wouldn't hesitate. For a second, for a nanosecond, for a millisecond, if they had to. Look, I'm serious about this. It is a situation where the Democrat Party has become so authoritarian, that you cannot even think to yourself that this is a legitimate party anymore. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the Democrat Party is so fundamentally anti-democratic that it now mirrors Putin's regime in Russia. They got rid of the primaries to make sure that Kennedy couldn't run against Joe Biden. And to conceal his cognitive deficits. when that was essentially, that was a palace coup against Biden. He was replaced not by any kind of election. He essentially picked his own successor. The mainstream media only gave Kennedy two interviews in 17 months compared to Ross Perot, who got 34 interviews when he ran in 1992. The Democrats conducted lawfare in an attempt to get both of their opponents off the ballot. Kennedy said, let me play a little clip of what he said here. Take a listen.
The Democratic Party is, there's no democracy left. I mean, we had the abolition of all of the primaries, essentially. They got rid of the primaries to make sure that I couldn't run against Joe Biden. And in order to conceal the cognitive deficits that he had, which he could not, you know, which would be revealed and were revealed ultimately as soon as he debated. And then when he was, when there was essentially a palace coup against him, he was replaced not by any kind of election, but, you know, he is essentially a his successor, Vice President Harris, was essentially chosen by an oligarchy of elites who we don't even know who they are. We have no idea how that process happened. And suddenly, without winning a single primary, without winning a single vote, we were told she's the only choice. I remember about 2 months ago, President Biden and Vice President Harris were ridiculing Vladimir Putin because he won his election with 88% of the vote. And they said, yeah, he only did that because he got rid of all of his opponents so he didn't have to run against anybody. And he controls the media in this country. Well, the Democratic Party is in the exact position now. When Ross Perot ran...
Think about it for a second in terms of the... Courtney, I tell you all the time, the corporate media is in the tank for the Democrats. I say that all of the time. It's one of the things that I say constantly on this program. I call it the unholy triad of the corporate media, social media, big tech, and the government. They're all in the tank together. And yes, the media exists to do the bidding of Democrats. That was another point that Senator Rand Paul made today on CNBC. They exist to do the bidding of the Democrats. You can't get away from that fact. You just can't. Most of the mainstream media are, in fact, an extension of the Democrat Party. Senator Rand Paul is exactly right when he said that earlier today on CNBC. It is the third leg on the unholy triad, and they want to control everything. There's no question.
If you watch the coverage of since Joe Biden dropped out and Vice President Kamala Harris came in, do you think that's been a normal sequence of? Do you think the mainstream media has fairly covered the transition to the vice president? Are you? Is that just ducks got a quack? Go ahead.
No, I would say most of the mainstream media are an extension of the Democrat Party, and that their coverage of Harris has been really soft love and hasn't been probing, and I don't think it's been fair at all. And the boost that she's gotten has really been orchestrated by mainstream media. That being said, I'm not for regulating any of them. If you don't like them, change the channel. You know, so people need to get over themselves, and even people on the right who are like, oh, you know, the left wing, they're controlling everything. There's never been more choices than I grew up in the 1970s when the three networks were all left-leaning. They were just more subtle about it. And now there's dozens of choices. There's cable, there's radio, there's podcasts. I think one of the phenomenons that underreported is how many people are getting their news from podcasts now. How many millions of people are skipping the mainstream media completely?
Well, if you listen to this show, you are skipping the mainstream media completely. No doubt about it. Podcast is just another extension of talk radio, if you think about it. That, I mean, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., that clip that I was playing before, he's on a podcast. It's the new way of the world now, and maybe you're listening to me right now on podcast. If you are, by the way, could you take a minute and rate it on Apple Podcasts? That'd be huge for us. Give us 5 stars only. Remember, Mama's Yoli's rule. If you can't say something nice, baby, don't say anything at all. Only say nice things. But say nice things. But no, but that's true. But when Rush Limbaugh, who really started this genre for us in terms of making it national, Bob Grant in New York also gets a lot of credit. But the whole idea was the corporate media exists to push the bidding of the Democrats and the left, even back then. You come to talk radio for the alternative to that, the stuff you're not going to hear in other places. Like, for example, the fact that people are saying in their towns that you've got illegal immigrants who are cutting off the heads of ducks. And the mainstream media is going to, corporate media is going to poo-poo that and mock that and belittle that. You know, we talk about all kinds of different things. Like, for example, we talk about how the Russia collusion is a fugazi. The corporate media just runs with that and says, oh, Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. They don't probe deeper and say, you know, actually what they're doing is they're setting the stage for more censorship in the future under the guise of Russia collusion. That's what they're doing. There's a great piece about that in Reason.com, that the war on foreign influence has actually become a war on the First Amendment. And they turn around and they scream about foreign influence in our elections, and actually it's just a way to stifle free speech. Well, not everybody, I mean, radio is great, but let's face it, for a lot of people, listening live 3 to 7 is not practical. Maybe you can listen for a little bit, but you want to hear the whole show, you go back and podcast the whole show, or you listen on your schedule. I love that personally. That's why when I moved back from mornings back to afternoons, I wasn't worried about when people would say, oh, I can't listen because I only listen in the mornings. Listen when you want. Listen on your schedule. Listen when you get the chance. That's what you should do. And that's happening more and more. And yes, Rand Paul's right. There are more choices right now. But if you think about it, the corporate media has shrunk even more in terms of their footprint. You've got ABC, CBS, and NBC. You've got MSNBC. How many successful lefty podcasts are there? There's Pod Save America, which is the Obama bros, and they were successful in getting Joe Biden out of the race. But how many successful it's just like when Air America came on. Air America was trying to be the alternative to Rush Limbaugh and other talk conservative hosts, and it was a disaster for them. The footprint of the left in the media world is shrinking every day even more. And there's now more options for conservative influencers, libertarian influencers, whether it's over the airwaves or it's on podcast or it's both. And it's great. It's a very powerful thing. But at the same time, I think that's why people see through the nonsense of and why we're worried about David Muir tonight, because I shared that story with you yesterday from Newsbusters. David Muir, ABC News, of all the networks in all the land, ABC is the most biased against Donald Trump, the most biased. They're the most negative against Trump, and they're the most pro-Kamala Harris network, period. So there's a lot of people worried about tonight's debate for that reason. Trump's going to be going up against not just Kamala Harris, but also David Muir and ABC News. All right, listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up. We're going to talk to the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley. But I want to thank my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo for their incredible, incredible service. You know, I'm so grateful to be a customer of Cherry Hill Volvo. We drive the XC90. I love it. It's the family car, but it's beautiful and stylish, and it's going to get you there nice and safe and sound. But maybe you want a sedan. The S-Class, made right here in America at their plant in South Carolina. Well, right now at Cherry Hill Volvo, you can lease a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. Isn't that amazing? Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception. Now, I drove the S60 for 6 months. I loved it. My kids called it the Batmobile because I had it in this beautiful, like, jet black color with black seats, and that car is fast and super stylish, and it's got plenty of trunk space, too. Great car. And it can be yours with a beautiful lease, $369 a month. And with Volvo, with Cherry Hill Volvo, they take care of everything. You're going to get the absolute best experience. They pride themselves in always doing what is right. Judith is my dear friend, as is Yosef, the entire team there. They go above and beyond to make sure you're getting the most aggressive pricing and the luxury experience that you deserve. Or perhaps maybe you want to lease the C40 at only $369 a month. With that, you don't have any taxes on that car in New Jersey. Either way, go see them today. They're right over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios. And that's because they sponsor us in this day and age of cancel culture. They stand with us. So what are you waiting for? Go see them today. You will love it. You'll love the experience. You'll love the treatment. You'll love the wonderful people at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. And again, you're going to love driving the S60, and you'll feel good because it's made in America. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.